fighting for America.
The 12-member jury decided not to press charges against Officer Darren Wilson.
Stop assassinating black people!
Townhouse smashed up. Police cars on fire.
You need to stop throwing objects at the police.
One of the tear gas canisters on the street. Dispersing right now.
Fighting for Idaho.
This is 5 million people being given amnesty that Congress rejected, that the American people have rejected.
Fighting for you.
It's just such a great time of year to really be grateful for what we have and to celebrate what we've accomplished over the year and also to do things for others.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Our great friend Heidi Harris joining us from Las Vegas, talk show host, television producer, woman of the world, HeidiHarris.com, Facebook, Heidiology. What else are you up to?
Well, you know, I just trying to keep up with you because you are the baddest of the guys in radio. I'm telling you, you are.
Is bad good or just bad?
Well, I was going to say bad is something else with an A, and that's not appropriate in your market, so I'm not going to say that, but that's what you are.
Well, thank you, ma'am. You're making me blush already, and we're only 30 seconds into this. Now, we take a look at the future of our great nation, and you and I have lived through some historic times. How do you see this? I mean, we had this election a few weeks ago. Do you think we're going to have real change?
I think too much is given, much is expected. And the Republicans have an opportunity here, but nobody can blow an opportunity faster than the Republicans, right? So I'm hoping that they are responsible and don't blow any opportunities in the next couple of years because they're going to have a chance to actually have some leadership. But I was thrilled to see Jeff Sessions. I'm sure you saw this op-ed in Politico talking about immigration, how there's no surrender. But then we have other people on the right who are already kind of, you know, digging their feet in the sand and going, aw, shucks, and this and that, and going, whoa, wait a minute. Do you guys have, I wouldn't call it a mandate necessarily, but when you look at it over the whole country, yeah, people are upset about what the left is doing. We've got an opportunity. We've got to capitalize on it.
And Jeff Sessions, so eloquent, so articulate, and such a great guy. He's such a contrast to your guy, Reed.
Oh, you know, I'm trying to digest my breakfast. Do you really have to bring up Harry Reid, Kevin?
Right.
We can't stand him in Nevada. How this guy keeps getting elected is beyond anyone's comprehension. So I think he's going to be retired in a couple of years. Either he's going to choose to leave, or our current governor, Brian Rico Suave Sandoval, is going to run against him and kick his butt.
How is he viewed there? You say people don't like him, yet he did get reelected.
Yeah, he did get reelected, partly because the theory goes that he put a ton of money into the Tea Party so that Sharon Angle could win the primary. Now, I like Sharon Angle very much, personally, and I also like Sue Loudon. Sue Loudon was the better candidate. She had the better campaign staff. She had more experience. She would have been a great senator, but they knocked her out early so he wouldn't have to go head-to-head against her because he knew he could. And Harry Reid at the time was on the Gaming Commission, so if he tried to say anything about Sue's husband, they would have come back and said, oh, really? You're the one who gave him a gaming license. So he knew he was very weak against Sue. So that's the theory, and I believe that's true, that he dumped that money into the Tea Party so Sharon could win the primary.
580 KIDO, our friend Heidi Harris with us as we move along, just talking about all things that are relevant. It's the end of the year almost, and we'll yap to you a few more times. But do you get nostalgic this time of year?
Well, you know, you look at all the Christmas decorations, you say to yourself, oh, my gosh, I'm so behind, right? I haven't even bought my Christmas cards, and every year I swear I'm going to do it by Halloween. I used to, but, yeah, I get nostalgic. When you look back over the year and how things have gone, I know a lot of people have had some really tough times over the last couple of years. So, yeah, 2014 has been an interesting year for me. I know it has for a lot of people. I'm not going to miss it too much, I think.
Better than most, and not to get too personal, because a lot of us have been to the edge and back. But do you think for ourselves and for the nation – we are coming back because we hear that unemployment's at a record level, 5.9%.
Well, the problem is, how do you define that, right? All I know is that no one in my periphery, and I have friends who have lots of money, not very many because I'm just a middle class working stiff, but I have friends who have a lot of money who don't have anywhere near what they had 5 years ago. And I have middle class friends who are also nowhere near where they were 5 years ago. So the fact that you finally got a job after you've been unemployed or partly employed for the last 3 years, that doesn't make you whole again. So once you can see those numbers and get people anywhere near where they used to be, then I'll be looking at this economy as being on the upswing.
Yeah, and I look at it, and I take a look at just these kids today, and are they going to have the same futures that we did?
Well, they can't get a job. You know, yeah. I'm the queen of the drive-thru, and I pull into the drive-thru, you know, more often than I should.
Are you like a regular there?
It's bad. You know, I try to hide the styrofoam box from my husband. It's embarrassing, but it's true. Yeah. But I don't see teenagers hardly ever. I mean, that's my little barometer. Take it for what it's worth. But I virtually never see teenagers working in the drive-thru. It's always older people. When I was in 16, 17, I was working at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I worked at McDonald's. You don't see that as often. And if those teenagers can't get that first job, even at that age, to learn some skills and how to behave and pay attention to authority and show up on time, and they're 19, 20, 21 years old, they've never gotten in the job market, that puts them at a huge disadvantage.
It does. And, you know, they've got this enormous student loan debt. We don't have the jobs that we've had. Are these challenges now or for the next presidential candidate?
Well, you know, something's got to be done about student loan debt. I mean, it's outrageous because a lot of times these kids, first of all, college wouldn't cost anywhere near what it does if everybody couldn't get loans and grants, right? Anyone can get a college loan regardless of whether they have any brains, any ability to get a college degree or anything else. And even in UNLV, our school down here in Vegas, almost nobody graduates even after 6 years. It's less than 50%, okay? And that's pretty typical across the country. But these kids will have student loan debt even if they don't graduate. And so when you buy a car, they look at whether or not you have the ability to repay the loan. That's not the case with student loans. If college wasn't financed by those kind of things, college would be a lot more affordable for the average kid. I got a nephew going to NYU Stern, okay, all like 15% of the people who apply get in. $60,000 a year. It's like 65, I think, a year. I mean, are you kidding me? I know it's a great education, but really? And one of the biggest problems is a lot of these kids nowadays, they take things like, they get degrees in things like women's studies that get them nothing except man-hating 101. They don't get a job from that. So, you know, they ought to limit the degrees people can get or at least be honest about what your degree will buy. For example, if you go to a fancy chef school and pay a lot of money, and some of them are expensive, you can at least say, I can probably get a job as a chef. But if you go to college, there are a lot of degrees that you can get that you take loans out to achieve that will not ever make you more employable than somebody who's never gone to college. And I think schools ought to be more honest about that. But that would limit their ability to get their paws on these kids and push political correctness down their throats. That's the problem.
Well, and here's the other one that gets me, is that you have the cost of colleges and universities going up again and again and again. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what's the big expense? You know, why are the costs going up?
Well, they shouldn't be going up. And one of the reasons they are, like I said, is because loans pay for it, so we don't really care. It's like if you have insurance, you don't care how much your casket costs. Because you have insurance, you don't really care. And the kids don't care how much school costs. They just get a loan. The second thing is that the school books are one of the biggest ripoffs among college students. And I've interviewed kids over the years who have these organizations where they try to fight the amount of money the textbooks cost. But here's the problem. Every couple of years, the colleges get a new crop of suckers. The kids get real excited about it, real upset, and then they move on with their lives. And then they get a new crop of suckers, have to spend $1,500 for books for a semester. And then a lot of times, as you know, the professors write the books, and they'll change one chapter and make the kid buy a whole new book. They're not allowed to buy the used ones because they've changed one chapter. And it's a complete racket, and somebody ought to be speaking up for these kids.
Well, and then you can't get out of your student loan debt.
Well, you shouldn't be able to get out of any debt. You shouldn't be able to walk away from your house and not have the IRS chase you down and say, hey, I want that $100,000 you walked away from. People shouldn't be able to walk away from their debts. That's not right.
Heidi Harris with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. So let's talk a little bit more about the future here. And after 6.5 years of Obama, have we gotten better culturally, or have we really, you take a look at just the meanness in social media, the meanness in talk radio, and, you know, how do we get it back? How do we get positive?
Yeah, you're right about that. There is a lot of meanness. There are people who are ticked off, and, you know, there's got to be some kind of civility, and there isn't as much as there should be. I'll give you an example, and it's a small one in my little world, but just this week I saw a dog that was basically tied up to a shopping cart. They were using a long plastic bag as a leash for this poor little thing, and you don't know anything about the person's situation, why they're semi-homeless or anything else. Make a long story short, some friends of mine and I at the dog park could see this whole situation. We went over, talked to the people, to a couple who was kind of semi-homeless, very nicely approached them and said, hey, you know, what's going on with the dog and this and that. And it turns out it was, you could tell it was a puppy because of the gait when the dog walked. Anyway, long story short, he's in my house now. We got him neutered. We're going to find him a home. But we approached them nicely, talked to them, And I think too many people are quick to judge a lot of different situations or people based on what they look like or their current circumstances. And if everybody could approach other folks in a better way, then we might get to where we need to be, especially in talk radio. You and I can talk to people on the left all the time. And I certainly have a lot of left-leaning folks on my show. And if you try to break it down to its essence and you say, okay, we all want the same things, right? We all want our kids educated. We all want to be safe in our homes. We all want our nation to be safe. If you break it down to that and then try to work from there and say, okay, we all want jobs, but we have different ways of trying to go about that. If we try to find what we agree on and work from there instead of constantly trying to find what we don't agree on, I think it would do us the world of good.
Yeah, but let's be honest. The left doesn't want to get along. They vilify you. They vilify me. And then they go cry when people bring that up.
Yeah, that's true. With people like Harry Reid, I mean, he is the most treacherous. Let's see, what words can I use on your show? He is the most treacherous person, let's put it that way, that I can imagine in Congress. I mean, he absolutely cares about nobody but himself and putting money in his own pocket. And by the way, he's just an example. There are a lot of people in Congress who behave like he does. And he doesn't care about anything that goes on in Nevada. And, you know, it's fascinating how all of a sudden, remember Joe Biden last week was saying, well, you know, we're ready to maybe compromise. Oh, now you want to compromise? Now because we have the majority, now you want to talk? I don't think so. A little too late, buddy.
Heidi Harris with us as we continue on here at 580 KIDO. Heidi, let's talk a little bit about the Supreme Court and which way they go concerning same-sex marriage.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, it's always been my contention from the beginning that same-sex marriage has to be a national issue. It's got to be a federal issue. You can't say I'm married in California and I'm not married in Nevada. You simply can't realistically do that. It's not going to work. And what happened was exactly what I predicted. As soon as they legalized marriage, it was in Massachusetts was the first place, right? I think it was. As soon as people got married there, they immediately moved to other states and filed for divorce for no other reason, in some cases, than to just prove that the other state would have to acknowledge their marriage. So I knew this was going to happen. The Supreme Court's going to have to make a decision. I don't know what their decision will be. I'm not sure how you take away the marriages of people who've already gotten married where gay marriage is legal. I'm not sure how you can do that. I don't see the public as having an appetite for that. So it's my guess that this whole thing's going to collapse and it's going to be a federal law.
And the arrogance of the Supreme Court at the time, well, 27 courts have overruled it. I mean, it's a grand conspiracy where you have four people deciding. They know more about the will of the people. They go to these judges, and boom, constitutional amendments are done.
Yeah, they've virtually never gotten gay marriage through in the ballot box, as you know. The voters of Nevada, we're pretty liberal when it comes to some of those states. Let's face it, they've got some billboards that are pretty racy around here and strip clubs and whatnot. And even the voters of Nevada voted it down resoundingly twice. They voted to protect marriage as being between a man and a woman. So it's a huge problem. My issue has never been who people spend the night with. I do not care what two consenting adults do. I truly don't. My problem has always been if you are going to knock on the door and tell me that I have to inform my six-year-old about your lifestyle or force a wedding chapel or a bakery or a private venue to acknowledge it, that's where you're coming across my lawn and taking my territory, and I'm not doing that to you, and that's been my problem with it. You know, if you want to keep it in your house, do what you want to do, fine, but don't force me to accept something I disagree with. And gay marriage isn't the only thing. There are a long line of things I don't want to have to be forced to accept.
More coming up with our great friend Heidi Harris, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580KIDO. Remember, Kevin Miller Show on Facebook, Kevin Miller Show on Twitter. Let's get you to traffic.
The 12-member jury decided not to press charges against Officer Darren Wilson.
It's shame on the city of the state, Lord!
Stop assassinating black people!
Town's all smashed up. Police cars on fire.
Something wrong with the world today.
Shame on the state of Missouri!
I'm black and I'm scared to be black in America.
A line of fire trucks and police officers that goes for at least a mile.
Seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his.
The KKK have taken off their uniforms of the white sheep and put on blue uniforms.
We just had a big volley. There's another round that just went out of the tear gas.
Black men can just get shot down like dogs.
Stop this madness.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
She always brings a smile to our face. Heidi Harris with us at 580 KIDO. Heidi Harris Show on Facebook. Now, make sure I get this right. So where else can we get a hold of you online?
Heidi Harris Show Facebook, Heidi Harris Show Twitter, and, of course, HeidiHarris.com.
What do you make of the vilification of the right? We were talking earlier about the same-sex marriage. And our governor, Governor Otter, who was reelected, decided, look, after the 11th Circuit, he's going to continue to fight. And had people calling him a gay hater, this, that, and the other. And I'm going, well, we're never, ever going to come to a consensus because you have people vilifying folks that disagree. And we talked a little earlier about it, but the gay issue seems to bring it to a different level.
Well, it's interesting, too, because there are a lot of folks who, let's say you decide to come out to your parents. And there are folks on that side of the aisle. I don't want to say left because there are right-leaners who don't have a problem with it. There are folks on that side who say, well, you know, my parents are being intolerant. You know, I'm not going to talk to my parents anymore because they don't accept me. Well, what about you accepting your parents? In other words, why can't you accept the fact that they disagree and still love them regardless? You expect them to love you now that you've come out. And if they don't, you reject them. But what about the other side? See, that's the problem. The tolerance needs to be on both sides. You need to accept the fact that I might disagree with you and love me anyway, and that's what we don't have enough of.
Well, the idea that if you're opposed to same-sex marriage, you're a bad person. And I don't know if you ever watched Survivor, but you had John Rocker on 2 months ago, and because he said some hateful things 2 or 3 years ago that the people, the sheeple on the show never saw or heard, one guy was mad at him, so everybody called him a bigot and a homophobe, even though they just took it on the word of another contestant.
Yeah, you know, isn't it incredible? And by the way, aren't you allowed to disagree? You know, it's not about what happened to, we need to bring that word out, heterophobe. What about the people who flat out hate straight people? And there are plenty of them like that. I don't get it. You're entitled to your point of view, and that's the problem. You're not entitled to disagree. Yeah, you are. What you have to do is be nice to people. You've worked with gay people. I've worked with gay people throughout my career, this career and other careers. I have no problem with them. I've gotten along with them. I don't care what people do at night. That's the thing. I've joked about this. I have a don't ask, don't tell policy. I won't ask what you did last night if you don't tell me. But I'm allowed to say, you know, I don't care if you're a swinger or whatever you are. I'm allowed to not agree. You can't force me to agree. But when I'm at work, I'll treat you professionally. I'm out in public, I treat you professionally, or I'm nice to you. That's all we're asking for. But tolerance is not enough. I had a lady call me years ago, and she said, well, you hate gay people. I said, really? You got any evidence of that? Well, you just tolerate them. And I said, right, ma'am. I said, acceptance is not something that's required. At the time I was working with gay people. I don't at the current station, but I have in the past. I said, that's not the point. I don't care what we do at night. We don't talk about it amongst ourselves. We treat each other like professionals, but I'm not obligated to accept what you do. And that is the problem. And so when there's only quote unquote acceptance on one side, in other words, if you don't agree with me, I don't even like you, then you've got a problem. And that's what people like John Rocker have had to suffer through.
Well, but then you have people that are just led to this, and they don't want to disagree because they don't want to be vilified.
Well, yeah, but the world is full of people who are gutless. I'm not saying everybody needs to speak out about it, but if you are asked about your opinion, you need to be bold and explain it in a way that makes sense. See, nobody can ever call me a gay hater. In fact, one of my friends who's a politician was recently asked by somebody, she goes, well, Heidi Harris is anti-gay. And my friend said, really? She's no more anti-gay than I am. And the person got real quiet then, you know, because this is a very religious person. And, you know, that's how you can't cite one thing I've ever said that was hateful. And I have lots of conversations on my Facebook page about gay marriage and things like that. I have lots of people. In fact, I rescued a dog last summer and gave it to a gay male couple, one of my listeners, who's an amazing guy who I knew would give this dog a home for life. That's how much I hate gay people. See, that's what I'm saying. And he knows I'm not on board with gay marriage, but we get along fine. We see each other at the dog park. You know, why does it have to be all or nothing? That's the problem.
Well, I agree with you here. Heidi Harris with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. And, you know, like I said, the lack of critical thinking skills scares me in America today because everybody wants to get along to go along. Do you believe that churches are next?
Oh, yeah, of course they are. There are a couple of wedding chapels here in Vegas, and one of them is an Elvis chapel, and one is something else. And the people who own them don't want to do gay marriages. And I interviewed the guy who owns the one chapel, and he said he's never actually turned anybody down. But, of course, you get the gay Gestapo out there calling churches or chapels up and trying to find out who will honor gay marriage and who won't. There are judges, as you've heard, retiring around the country who don't want to do this. There are people who sold their wedding chapels because they don't want to have to do this. So, you know, where is it going to go? I don't know. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch when the Supreme Court looks at it, that's for sure.
Well, and what gets me, though, is people want churches to reform, so 2,000 years of Christianity is wrong?
Well, that's the problem, and there are certainly churches that don't have a problem with gay marriage. I would imagine that churches are, because, you know, in places like Canada, got this the hate crimes legislation, and other places in Europe where you can't speak from the pulpit. Listen, if you don't want to believe what the Bible says about whatever, and it's not just about people being gay, it's adultery, fornication, there's lots of stuff that you're not supposed to be doing. God has a plan for sex that makes you happy and a plan that doesn't make you happy. And I know, try to tell a single person that when they want to go bar hopping and, you know, hook it up with this one and that one. God knows that hooking up with people who are strangers is a bad lifestyle and it's going to make you sad. That's the reason that God confines what you're supposed to do. So it's not just God picking on gay people. It's the same thing for single people, married people who want to cheat on their spouses. There's a reason God doesn't want you to do that. You cannot believe that if you don't want to, but don't criticize churches who do. That's the problem. If they were so secure in what they believed, why would they want to go after Christianity? There are lots of religions I don't agree with, and I drive by this or that church or temple or building or whatever, and I go, yeah, I don't agree with them. I wouldn't knock on their doors. I wouldn't say you don't have a right to believe that. I wouldn't attack them. I wouldn't attack anybody who goes to their church. I thought in America we had freedom of religion, and that means freedom to disagree. Anybody who goes to a church, I go to just a non-denominational Christian church. There are lots of churches where they believe a Bible, but they have very different beliefs about the Bible. But once again, okay, live and let live. They have the right to do that. I have the right to do what I do. And that's what I don't understand about the gay agenda, is to take that away. You can reject the Bible, but don't tell me that's not in there, because it is.
More coming up with Heidi Harris. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you for listening to 580 KIDO. We'd love to, well, I'd love to follow you on Twitter. Follow me, follow you. Kevin Miller Show on Twitter, Kevin Miller Show on Facebook, and remember the station at 580 KIDO on Twitter. Heidi Harris with us. I was going to say the mistress, but I don't think that would be correctly. How would we define you as far as your social media presence?
Social media presence. I don't know. Heidi Harris Show's the Twitter post. I think pretty good. I like to interact with people. I enjoy hearing different points of view. I have the Heidi Harris Show Facebook page, and I love it. I know you've got Kevin Miller Show Facebook page. I love it because I like to interact with people with different points of view. I enjoy that a lot. Always appreciate it. So it's fun, and Twitter can be fun. People can go after you on Twitter, but that's okay. I'm a big girl. I can take it.
Do you think that talk radio as we know will end?
Yes.
Really?
I do. I think in a few years, you're going to have some of the bigger names in talk radio retire. I mean, some of these guys are pushing 70. You got Savage and Levin and Rush Limbaugh. They're all going to be probably 70 years old in a few years. I think it's going to change a lot if it doesn't morph. And I'm not just saying this to suck up. I truly believe that you are one of the best in the country. You truly are. And I'm not the only person who says that, by the way. Mr. Marconi, Kevin Miller. Hello. It's not just me who says how great you are, okay? If everybody did talk radio the way you did, I think talk radio would have a lot better future. But I think the problem is we got too many people who get on the Drudge Report or whatever, read right-wing headlines, predictable. You could get a parrot to go, Obama's up, right? Obama's up. And that's, I mean, come on. You know what I'm talking about. And there are too many people out there doing that. And what's hurting talk radio is too much predictability. You know, there are a lot of guys who try to be – Howard Stern's not my cup of tea, okay? It's not my thing. But how many guys try to do what Howard Stern does, you know, getting the strippers on or whatever, and they've not been successful? Why? Because they're not Howard Stern. You cannot just replicate somebody who's a right-winger again and again and again and make that talk radio. And it's hard to get in the business anymore the way you and I did. Can't get in for free in the middle of the night. You can't work your way up anymore. It's very difficult. And the people I see getting jobs around the country who are, to me, same old, versus some people I know on the beach, as we say in radio, who are super talented and bring some excitement to the table, they're getting overlooked. And I don't understand it. It's like Hollywood that has a sequel for everything. You know, now they're going to make Sharknado 3. Are you kidding? Sharknado 1 was great. Sharknado 2 was awful. Sharknado 3, really? Come on, but that's what Hollywood does. They find a successful formula, and they just replicate it because they have no original thinking. And that's what's happening to talk radio in too many markets.
Well, here's the challenge that we have, or that I have at 580KIDO. In the old days, when you had a scandal, it would be good and people would be engaged and firing up and rolling. But on the other hand, there are so many scandals, there are so many issues, whether it's ISIS, whether it's Ebola, whether it's who knows what, whether it's the legalization of the illegals, that it's fatiguing. It's almost as if there's so much bad news that people have become callous to it.
Well, that may be true, certainly in the case of ISIS. We're not even paying attention anymore. There was a story I'm sure you saw, you probably talked about on your show, where ISIS actually put a price list online for the women. And if you're over 40, you're only worth $43. The ones who are worth the most money are the ones between 1 year of age and 10. I am not making that up. Okay, now, where's the outrage? You see that making any national news? I didn't. I talked about it, but most people don't. You know, a plane gets shot down in Ukraine, everybody goes, huh, what? We don't care. 300 people are slaughtered in a village by ISIS, and we go, huh, we don't care. You're right. I think we are getting into fatigue. Part of it's because with 24-hour news, we hear about every bad thing that happens everywhere in the world. When you and I were little kids, you know, there was no internet, so we didn't really hear about terrible things or some kid getting snatched off the street in Ohio or whatever. But now we hear about it's a constant barrage of what's wrong with the world, and that can be very hard on people.
Well, and that's why, you know, we have our own little town hall meeting each and every morning here at 580KIDO, Heidi, where, you know, you have to sit back and go, okay, it's bad, bad, bad. And I think the industry itself has gotten a bad name just for actually doing its job.
Yeah, that may be true. But, you know, I look at it from the perspective of spirituality. I mean, as a Christian, I read the back of the book, We Win. And I'm not being sarcastic when I say that. I think that's really important. And I tell people when I go out and give talks, and I know you do a lot of that too, I always tell people who are wringing their hands, you know, before the election, oh, if we don't take the Senate back, it's all over. Oh, give me a break. God's in charge, not the Republicans. And it's interesting. People on the left often get accused of putting all their trust in politicians. Oh, well, you want government to take care of you and government to solve all your problems. Okay, that's true in a lot of cases. But what about the right? If we really think that having a Republican Congress is going to save us and turn this nation around, our problems are spiritual. They're not political. And if we put all of our trust in right-leaning politicians, we're no different than the left-leaning folks who do the same thing.
Well, I agree with you, but it gets back to then what do you do? You know, everybody decides to check out, and whether it's TMZ or going to Vegas or living on sports, they've decided to, you know, let the politicians run things, and unfortunately, without that fear of accountability, they get the money from the big business and, you know, let us all eat cake.
Well, it's so true. And as you know, only 45% of the people who are eligible to vote voted in the last election. That's depressing. That in itself. You know, people do not really care. And I'm sure you saw that Kaiser Family Foundation recently did a survey. It was something like 8 out of 10 people had no idea that open enrollment for Obamacare starts this week. And in Nevada, where they told us we had over 600,000 people who were uninsured, we had less than 40,000 when all was said and done, less than 40,000 signed up for Obamacare. And because of Xerox screwing it up so badly, every one of those people are going to have to re-enroll beginning on Saturday. Good luck trying to get that across. These people had no idea. Huh? What? Open enrollment? These are the uninformed people. And then I had a left-leaning old friend of mine who gets on my Heidi Harris Show Facebook page say, you're calling them uninformed because they don't know when open enrollment is? Yeah. How do you define uninformed? They don't know when to even re-enroll for insurance. What can you do? How much hand-holding can you do with people? That's the problem.
Heidi, we come back to it. How do we get back America?
Well, I think we need to focus on what matters. I think we need to hold politicians accountable, but we can't put our trust in them. I think that we need to have more people getting back to church and getting back to the foundation that this country was based on. Now, this is not a theocracy. I'm not saying everybody needs to go to church, but we're trying to get so quickly away from the values that made America strong. We want to eliminate prayer in school, and I know you talked about the story of the man who freaked out when his daughter was given an assignment about Islam, talking about the benefits of Islam. Where are the assignments talking about the benefits of Christianity? I mean, we need to, now I'm not necessarily saying we need to push Christianity in schools. I'm not advocating that, but I'm advocating that we get back to what this country was founded on. And I mean, people may not like what it was founded on, but it was founded by people who understood religion, religious freedom, I should say, and persecution, because they'd come from that. We need to get back to that, and I think that will get us back on track to survive the next 100 years, I hope.
Well, the challenge, unfortunately, is you have the press showing favoritism to one religion, the Islamic religion, over the Christianity. We see that all the time where somebody complains about Christmas decorations. They take them down because it's offensive to Islam.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, isn't it? I don't know if they're afraid of the Muslims or what. There's no way. You don't even have to forget about the Crusades. You don't even have to go that far back. Look at recent history. Look at a price list online for Yazidi and Christian women put online by ISIS. Look at recent history and tell me who's protecting women. You know, Jesus Christ was the one who spoke to the Samaritan woman. When he spoke to the Samaritan woman, he broke all kinds of cultural rules. Christianity elevated women. Who was the first person Christ appeared to? A woman. Christianity does not subjugate women. Islam does, at least the way ISIS portrays it.
Heidi Harris with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Like I said, it's a challenge to get this back. Another issue that you're at the forefront on is the issue involving the illegals. You know, whether or not the amnesty will happen, whether or not there'll be some type of, how should we put this, some type of resistance. Senator Sessions at the forefront, and he argues, hey, we got no jobs now. Imagine if we flood the workforce with more people.
Yeah, that's the thing. If I were somebody who were, let's say, and I, by the way, I don't have any clear solutions for somebody who was brought here at 5 years old. They've only lived here. What do you do? Toss them back to Guatemala or Mexico? I don't know. But the fact is, if I were Latino and I were a native Spanish speaker and I were bilingual, I would be livid that I suddenly had to compete with somebody who wasn't legally here to begin with for a job, which is exactly what will happen. And I love when they say, well, they need to pass the citizenship. People don't care if they have citizenship. They just want to stay here. Another lie that the right perpetrates on the left. Well, we just want them to learn English. Learn English? Define that. How much English are they going to have to learn? Are you going to make them take a test? Plenty of these kids already know English. Is that it? And they want them to pay a fine. Pay what fine? You can't get people to pay their traffic tickets. When I was working in Los Angeles 2 years ago, I got a ticket while I was down there. And I, just for the sake of it, just because it's good show prep, I actually went to the courthouse down in the Inland Empire. If you know that area, you know, San Bernardino, just the garden spot of America. So I'm sitting in the courthouse all day long watching all these people who didn't have driver's licenses, didn't have registration in their cars. And when the judge would say, well, do you plan to get insurance or driver's license? They'd say no. You can't even get people to get driver's licenses, and yet you want them to pay a fine? And what if they don't pay the fine? Are we going to kick them out? And what if they can't pass an English test? Are we going to kick them out? I mean, come on, stop lying about it.
Heidi Harris with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. Heidi, please stand by. More coming up next. Don't forget, you can always reach us on Facebook, KIDO AM, 580 KIDO. Yes, we have two Facebooks because we have so much content on Twitter at 580 KIDO. And, of course, for your old jolly pudgy, kind of a jolly little elf here, it's Kevin Miller Show and Kevin Miller on the Facebook. Coming up next, much more with Heidi Harris as we roll along and, again, find out what we're thankful for. But before that, let's get you to work safely and on time.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Heidi Harris with us. Heidi, what do you make of the West? You know, we talk a little bit about Western lands and Western issues. You've been in the West for many, many years. You're born in the West. You are a Westerner, genuine Westerner. What do you make of the future of our geographic area?
Well, as far as the government owning too much of us, I mean, I think that's a huge part of it. I think people are going to constantly want to move to certainly southern Nevada, southern Arizona, northern Arizona, because they're just tired of the cold. They're tired of all the cold and warming. I mean, they're freezing their buns off in Minnesota and places like that. They're sick of it. As people get old and the joints start to hurt, you know, they want to move to somewhere where it's not quite so miserable. So I think there's always a good future for the Southwest, although the problem we have in Nevada is we have too many Californians who come to Nevada, and I don't dislike California, my mom's there, but the problem is many of them don't understand cause and effect. In other words, nobody leaves California because the weather sucks, right? Let's be honest. It's a beautiful state. They leave California because they can't afford to live there anymore. And then they move to Nevada, and they bring their bad ideas, and they want to replicate the same mess they left. So I would advocate, I don't know if you've been down to California from Las Vegas, but as you go down to California, there's a checkpoint where they check to see if you have any produce, because they're worried that if you brought produce in from another state, not Nevada, but other states, that it might have some bugs in it or something. I think they should turn that around, that inspection, and ask the people coming from California, hey, why are you moving to Nevada? Okay, because the taxes suck and the law. Okay, well, do you promise not to replicate that? I'm serious. that's the biggest problem with the South, with the West, is the people moving with the wrong attitudes from the East Coast, going to California, then coming to places like Idaho and Nevada with their bad ideas and trying to turn us into an East Coast. That's the biggest danger for the West, I think.
Can the West hold on to its culture?
Well, I think there's always going to be a certain amount of that, especially in places like Idaho and Nevada, where you've got a lot of rural areas and a lot of people who still believe in freedom and individuality. I think we can, as long as we kind of stave off the people who want to infect us with the wrong ideas.
Again, it's being inoculated to those wrong ideas, I suppose.
Well, you have to. You've got to remind people that there's a reason Nevada's better. There's a reason Idaho's better than where you came from. Let's keep it that way. I don't think that's too hard to – you have to just constantly reiterate because people need to be educated consistently.
Finally, a note of inspiration for people in the holidays that are struggling.
Well, I know that it's tough, but, you know, certainly I'm a Christian, and I give it to God. I know that He knows what all of our problems are and our situations. He cares about each one of us uniquely, and all we can do is to keep moving on. And I know sometimes it can be discouraging when you see people taking advantage of things financially and making decisions, you know, walking away from homes and things like that and going, eh, sucker, you're making your house payments and I'm not, whatever it is. I think that as long as you have your integrity, you never lose anything.
Well, that's easier said than done.
Well, it is, but so is everything else. So is 10 push-ups.
You know, you're a quick one.
No, I stole that from Dr. Laura. I'm not going to take credit for her line, but it's so true when people call her and they say, it's easier said than done. She says, yeah, so are 10 push-ups. It's a good one.
Heidi, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, always a privilege to talk to you, Kevin. You are the bomb. If everybody in radio was like you, we'd have you know, another 30 years doing this.
We can only hope. Have a great day at work. God bless and keep the faith, everyone. Serving Meridian.